Welcome to the Coaching DNA Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Wyckoff. I'm also the founder of Kingdom Coaching, my consulting business in which I coach leaders. This is part two of my conversation with Charles Small. Charles is the AD at Valparaiso University. During part two of my conversation with Charles, we discuss managing expectations, his first 6 months at Valpo, doing a listening tour and having a plan, and much, much more. Charles is a rising star in the profession, just really, really sharp. So without further ado, my conversation with Charles Small. So I'm thinking through here. There is an art and a gift of asking questions. So as you're meeting, let's just say you personally are meeting with, you know, the couple sports that you oversee. And just a little that I've gotten to know you, you've got a picture of what this potentially could look like for each program. You're probably knowing a lot of you're having good questions to ask to help them have clarity. And then you also have other people on your staff that are doing this exercise with other coaches. And how do you then, are you spending time with your staff to make sure they're able to ask those good questions of the coach when the coach says, here are my four levers. And are you teaching them, okay, now we've got to constantly ask questions to not challenge in a good way, to challenge their clarity on, do you really know what you're needing and what you're wanting and where you're wanting to go? Long-winded question of how do you train your staff to make sure they're doing a good job with their coaches?
So I always go back to this motto of vision, alignment, and execution. And so with our senior staff, our sport administrators, I'm going back macro level. Hey, our mantra is choose to be great. Big picture, we want our student athletes to flourish. We have a definition of exactly what that means in terms of student athlete well-being. Achievement is in there in terms of championships and stuff, and us being great ambassadors. And so when I talk about the department and our priorities for this year and where we're going, if we're talking about a competitive goal of like, how do we move up in our Missouri Valley rankings? What programs are right there where we need to help them to, we need a little bit of investment to help them get to a championship, or, you know, because that just depends on the year and the roster. I'm then going to our sport administrators and saying, hey, yeah, like, tell me about men's golf. Like, we were really good last year. We got everybody returning. What's your thoughts? What are you seeing? Like, what's Dave saying? What's Coach Green saying that they need to get to the next level? Because we were really close last year. And so I'm having that those conversations with our sport administrator. But then what I kind of throw in there is like, how are you going to engage him? Like, what's the strategy there? How does that look?
That's good.
How can I help? Where are you going to use me? Right? Like, is that a formal meeting, or you just need me to go by there and nudge him? Like, how does that look? What's our strategy? Because I need to empower our sport administrators too to have the autonomy to manage their sport where they don't feel like I'm overwhelming. Now there's times where I need to step in. And that's just my role, and I'll be clear on that. But in general, we have our one-on-ones. How are your sports doing? How do we get them to the next level? What do they need? We know where are their gaps, right? Like, how do we help them? And it's that constant conversation. But I also want to give us room where we can evaluate the coaches. I'm not leaving them on the island, but we're not going to do it for them because I have to evaluate whether they can lead their programs. And that's what we're evaluating. And I'm pretty upfront with them on that. You know, you're going to have a lot of flexibility in this, but that's a big part of the evaluation. You're the CEO of that program.
Dude, I love that. What is the grid that you use for the expectations for each program? Because all your programs, I'm assuming, aren't funded at exactly the same level with, you know, there's just difference. What's your grid?
Yeah. So my philosophy is that each sport needs to be able to maximize in the short term. They need to maximize their roster. Right. So that's one thing of if a sport is really right there to win a championship or they just need something we think can take them over to the top, we're going to make some strategic investments. Overall, we're looking at trends. So we're looking at, we have sports grids related to athletic performance, you know, just what they've done in conference, but also other pieces, academics, you know, where APR, team GPA, all that's laid out. So you have the trend data, but we also have a head coaches survey, right? And are the student athletes having a good experience, and how do they view, and that's just one piece of data, and it's coming from student athletes, but we look at all of that, and then we're making some strategic investments. And so, for example, our men's and women's basketball programs or volleyball programs are pretty visible, and we've had a lot of success. We need healthy programs so that way we can generate some revenue through tickets, parking, things of that nature. It's also part of our tradition. We're going to always make strategic investments and perform at a high level in those sports at Valpo, right? That's something unique to Valpo. We have non-scholarship football, and they serve a really important role, particularly with tuition and enrollment. But also they have, I mean, we have these alum who just love football, and they're like engineers and nursing majors, all this stuff, business folks. And football is also a ticketed piece where we can make some money. So that's another one that we have to invest in, because it helps the overall department when we look at revenue. But the rest of them, you know, I'm really just looking at how do we get this each program to elevate, where we have this comprehensive excellence, where it's this constant piece of winning championships and having a great experience. So 10 years from now, I want all of our coaches to be able to go in any living room and say, hey, you're going to find your calling. You're going to, you know, pursue your calling, get a wonderful education, get a job, be set for life after Valpo, and you're going to win a conference championship when you're here. We're not there yet, but that's where we're, that's our mountain 10 years from now that we're moving towards as a department. So
love it. It's so good. Okay. You take over Valpo. Walk us through, give us insight into what that looked like. I'm going to leave it very general. What it looked like for, well, let's just say for the first couple, let's say for the first 6 months as you come into Valpo, what it looked like for you to take over.
Yeah, I think from day one, I wanted them to, our staff, our coaches, to understand that we're going to have a plan. Now, I wasn't coming in dictating kind of what we're doing right away, because I'm a process guy. And I think building trust and relationships is really important in the process. But that can get frustrating for people if they don't understand what the plan is. So from day one, the day after my press conference, everyone in the department got a letter from me in a survey that kind of is your traditional SWOT analysis of strengths and weaknesses, but also asking about their family, asking about what was needed to move the program forward. It was just a list of questions that they got the day of the press conference. And I took that data. And so my first 90 days was a lot of listening. I did a listening tour. And it was really this idea that we're going to come together and put a plan together and go on this journey together. Now, as a leader, I said, hey, we're going to put a plan together and we're going to refine it. But there's going to be four pillars that are going to lead this. And I just came in and set the tone from day one. And that was an extraordinary student athlete experience. That was an enduring culture. That was eminence to a national brand, and also earned trust, right? And that's internally and externally. So those four pillars were guiding this. And then I was also kind of listening and collecting data. And then eventually at the end of the year, well, really in December, but towards the end of the academic year, we created these domains of success. And that's how we got our mantra, choose to be great. We talked about the foundation, and a lot of that was from those pillars that we talked about. But something that came out of those listening days were our biggest assets are the people, and that folks care about this place. And so I got a feel for that on my interview, but that really resonated in my listening days. So I was able to put that in there. So we have our domains for success. And so my thought was, I can say, hey, we built this together. These are our domains for success. It's in a pyramid. And one of the things that resonated me in one of the coaches' meetings was that a coach said, hey, what are you going to do? Yeah, we're going to push. We're going to choose to be great. But what are you going to do as an administration? And what that told me was there was this feeling, and I'm not knocking the previous administration, but there was this feeling of being on the island.
Yeah.
Hey, we're pushing. We're going and we're figuring stuff out. But we also need some support. That's what I heard there. And so when we did our domains of success, we had that foundation. But the next tier are investment in resources. And that's what we're bringing too, right? We're going to support. And then the third one is the brand piece. And if we can do those two layers, we'll have eminence to a national brand that I talked about. And so I think it's worked well. We bridge some gap. And at minimum, it's clarity. And then each of those domains, what we've been able to do is detail out what each of those domains mean in a couple of sentences, you know, and that's our recipe for success. Right. And so we built that together. And that's why that can get frustrating for people. But I can't come in from day one and say this is what we're going to do, because we got to build that together. And at least that's my.
It's good. What the letter that you wrote the day after your press conference, where'd you get that idea from? Had you seen that or yeah?
You know, I talked to a couple ADs in the industry. One that stands out is Eric Wood and Brian. So Eric Wood is at Louisiana Tech. And Brian Blair at Toledo most recently took the Toledo job. And both of them just said, hey, you got to go in with a plan. I mean, you first of all, for your president, your first time AD, all that type of stuff. I mean, you got to have your plan mapped out and let people know kind of this is how it's going to look. And so it kind of morphed from those two that I kind of leaned on. I've seen some other ADs do it. But it was very helpful. It really was. That, hey, here's a plan. And I didn't start the next day or next week.
Sure.
So we had a sitting AD that had been there for 18 years. And it was important for me to get my family settled. So I wasn't starting until July and the press conference was in May. So it was important for them to know I was going to collect data and things of that nature. And we were going to come in and get going when I got to campus.
It feels like a tough line to walk between having a plan, but also going on a listening tour, recognizing that you're new and you don't have everything figured out in general, but specifically for Valpo or whatever, you know, department you're taking over. Walk me through that fine line between here's our plan and, oh yeah, I don't have everything figured out. I need to do a listening tour.
Yeah. So I think the balance is being very transparent of what the plan is. Right. And we talked about that. And so in coaches meetings, reinforcing the plan, making sure it's constant messaging, right? So you told them it, you got to tell them again, you got to reinforce it. You got to offer clarity on the plan. So just, you know, cause you're living it every day and they may not, you know, be in those meetings with you. And, but I think the other part is you got to get some wins too early to get some momentum. Right. And so, you know, I remember this theme of team spaces coming up, and a couple of our coaches, especially ones that have been successful, really talked about like, listen, I want to pour into my student athletes. I think we have some gaps and we need to take care of some stuff, but I want our student athletes first and foremost. And we got to really look at, and they were emphasizing like locker rooms and stuff like that. And so that theme, I really latched on to. And so that came out of their levers, that came out of my individual meetings. And that was a theme that we said as a department, hey, year one, we're going to really dial into this idea of team space. And so when we have our Day of Giving campaign in April or in March, we're going to focus on team space. And I want these sports specifically to come out of there with new team rooms. And we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we heard them. You give a touch point like, hey, this lets you know one change we're going to do is before every team was kind of doing their own thing and we kind of need this to get to, you know, we're going to have a streamlined message for Day of Giving this year. This is just how we're going to do it. We're going to come together because I think we can raise more money if we're coordinated. And I heard you and I saw it in your lever, the whole team space thing, that's going to be the emphasis. So the two themes are recruiting and team spaces. And what do you think about this old racquetball club? I want you to look at these different areas in our facilities and let me know what you think about this space. I kind of designated these spaces as potential team spaces. What do you think? Should we get behind that? Okay. And then I want you to go work with our facilities people. You got to go through them. They're the point. I need you to be at the forefront. You're the leader of this program. What do you want your team space to look like? And so soccer got a team space. Track renovated theirs and volleyball in our first year. Each of those rooms look different because our soccer coach is an engineer. So this area is this and this area is for this. Our volleyball coach, who is awesome, is a free spirit, and there is a there's a palm tree in there, right? And they have, you know, but this is where we go. I want them to be able to lay down. This is where we do our video. Here's the fueling station. And so, you know, those were wins for us because they directed it. You know, I could have came in and said, we need a new weight room, which we'll do this year, but that didn't come from the coaches.
Yeah.
And so we'll do it this year, right? Because some of the coaches say, yeah, strength and conditioning is something we need to focus on. And so now we're building these plans, and we'll have some campaigns around them. But you get those wins that because they're leading that discussion.
So good. Yeah. What's the most important thing you bring to the department every single day?
I just really believe in stewardship. And so we have banners throughout our facilities, particularly our arena, that says choose to be great. And the conversation with our student athletes is that they got to build those daily habits to be great. And so what I believe that I bring is this positive energy. I am at the forefront, and I have to be the visual of choosing to be great. And so how in that day am I going to present in every meeting? Am I going to present in every interaction? And being authentic, right? It's not like we're going to have tough times, sure, but clearly seeing that we're choosing to be great. And so I just believe in stewardship. And so I think if I can leave that and some of these expectations around positive attitude, energy, integrity, and doing your job at a championship level, that's my role. And then I'm being a good steward to where the department's going. We'll get better. It'll be better than how I found it.
Yeah. So good. Talking about stewardship, I would love to maybe have you walk us through what your daily rhythms look like. I know you've got two young sons. I know life is your wife works. Like, I know it's a busy time. Walk us through what you do daily. What do your rhythms look like?
Yeah. I do believe in daily habits. So, you know, I'm waking up at 4:30, and that's important for me because I'm investing in myself. So I'm a learner. So I go read every morning at 4:30. There are times like if I have to knock out a project and I know my day's full, I reserve that time to just knock it out. So that way I'm not flustered throughout the day. But usually that's my time. And so I do reading in the morning. When I'm rolling once a week, I try to get a jog in where I'm just listening to music. So it's the exercise thing, but it's more just zoning out. Don't answer my phone. I'm just listening to music. But definitely twice in the weekend, I have to do. And I'm not like running or conditioning. It's just a jog. It's a trot. It could be a walk. But I got to get out the house. The kids are with me. And so then my calendar kind of runs my day, right? And then so my role is I got to pour into other folks. I got to be available. And people have important things. And if it gets to me, they're probably waiting on me for some decision, and they can't move forward by the time it gets to me. And so I got to present well. And that's how I choose to be great. But the other piece of one of the things I love working in a kind of a smaller setting in terms of we have a smaller community in Valparaiso, awesome community too. But I can get back and forth from home pretty quickly. I just got to spend some time with my family every day. And whether that's at dinner or they come to the sporting event, but I put them in bed, my kids in bed. I try to be present. And what I do is it's only a couple hours. And, you know, if there's an emergency, I'll answer my phone. But I'll stay an hour or so later at work to go be able to walk in the house and put my phone down and be present. I just think the quality of time, it's different. And so like I'll hop on a call at 8 or 9 o'clock, but I spent time with my kids. I got them in the shower. They're all set, ready to go to bed. And I'll go take a call. But it was quality time where I'm present. And,
yeah.
And I've had to learn to do that over time. There was a point in my career where I'm just a workhorse. So I was always on my phone, and you know, I'll be watching TV with my wife. I'm not, you know, I'm not there, right? Like I'm there. I'm kind of in and out of on my phone. And that's something I've had to be disciplined. It really shows some discipline. And once you do it, you know, it's easier to do, but early on, it's a difficult habit. At least it was for me. And
yeah.
So it's not a ton of stuff, but the key thing is when the alarm clock goes off at 4:30, just get up and make sure that I pour into myself. The other part I got to get better at, though, is how do I prepare to get up and be the best I can at 4:30? And that means I got to go to bed a little earlier. I keep going. And so that's the growth piece for me that I got to get better at. I'm not good at it just yet, but I know that. And so I got to commit to that. So.
Love it. Okay. I end with three questions. I've been waiting to ask this question because you just known you're a learner. First question I ask is, what are you currently reading?
Oh, yeah.
That's helping you grow, keeping you sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm reading two books right now. I'm kind of going back and forth. One is more of a work related book. Another one's more personal. So Think Like a Monk by Jay Sheedy. It's a great book. So this guy was training to be his calling was to be a monk. He did actually finish it out, but like there's all these principles. And so I really like that book. I'm a big mindset guy. And so that it's a different twist on kind of that. He talks about a monk mindset. So, you know, I like that book. I'm reading that now. Really good book. And then Creativity Inc. by Ed, I think it's Catmull, but yep. He was the CEO of
Pixar.
Pixar, yeah, yeah. And that's been a good book for me because I think we can learn from different industries, and I'm a leadership guy. So it's been fascinating to see how Pixar evolved and some of his philosophies. So I'm reading those two books.
Love that. Love that. Second question, what advice would you give a young person just getting into the athletic administration space?
Have clarity. Just have clarity and self-awareness. Understand your strengths and your passion and what motivates you pretty early. And then go learn. Go learn and build relationships. Just, you know, go learn about the industry. Because as a leader, you go from skills and doing tasks to leading. And so you got to understand context to do that. So go do lunch meetings with people in different departments. Do informational learning sessions. Call somebody up at a different institution and ask for 30 minutes and say, I just want to learn about your journey. And people will do that for you. And you'll learn a lot. And I'm a learner. You'll learn a lot. But what you realize is if you can commit to that over time, it compounds. And you start building these relationships. And then when opportunities come up, you're front of mind. And so as a young professional, if you do that early, I'll tell you this, and I don't want to take up all your time, Travis. When I was at Arkansas, I didn't know it. But on that staff, right, I knew Jeff, obviously, where he was as the AD. On that staff, Julie Cromer Peoples was there. She's the AD at Ohio. John, I reported to John Fagg. He was there. He's now the AD at UT Arlington. Dorita Radcliffe is still at Arkansas. She's been tremendous.
Eric Wood,
who I reported to, is the AD at Louisiana Tech. Jared Banco, he was at my interview lunch with Eric Wood. He's the AD at Georgia Southern. Byron Hatch is with the College Football Playoffs. At Arkansas, you don't know it at the time, but I thought I did a decent job of just going to having lunch with people. Hey, yep. Tell me about tickets. Tell me about how you do the budget. And just be inquisitive and learn. And so those relationships, tell me about your family, right? And these folks end up doing all these great things, and you just have a genuine relationship with folks, and it just helps out, at least in athletics. It's a relationship business.
Totally. I love that, dude. Yeah. And lastly, and I'll end with this, who would you like to hear talk about their journey and really all things leadership, staff development, culture? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so one person I'm really close with and I have a different type of relationship because we were teammates. But just anytime I hear about him talking about leadership, you know, it's really inspiring. And that's Marcus Bowman. He's a deputy AD at Oklahoma. And we were teammates together at Pitt. But, you know, just what he's done in some different spaces, I think is very innovative. But he's also he's in that business sector in the business office and overseeing a lot of those functions. And I think he would be great. Another person that, you know, I'm inspired by is Martin Jarman out at UCLA. You know, he was thrown into some really the strong, really loaded type positions early on. He started out at Ohio State and had a lot of responsibilities as AD at Boston College, now at UCLA. Just always curious as to, as a young, when you're thrown in leadership type positions and difficult situations as a young administrator, how you handle those and what has he learned? I'm just fascinated by those two ADs. And then I love just how Julie Cromer Peoples, I just respect her as an administrator. I love her approach. She's the AD in Ohio. And she's really involved in women's leaders. I think from a perspective of a female leader, AD, she's sharp and she's one of the best. And I think people can learn a lot from her.
Love that. So good. Charles, dude, you're a stud. Really grateful you took time. Have loved getting to know you over the last couple, month-ish. And just super impressed by, just really impressed by you. So yeah, thanks for taking time.
But Travis, you do great work and it's really important in our industry. So appreciate all that you do in terms of development and leadership. It's really important. So thank you.